Hello and welcome to the third Twickenham CC podcast. Slightly different team assembled tonight. Across the table from me, I'm Dan Huff, secretary of Twickenham CC. Across the table from me, we have Eugene Berger.
Hi, Dan.
Evening, Eugene. All well?
Very good, thank you.
Good, good. To my right, we have our first guest star this evening. That is Ethan Wright. How are you, Ethan? All good?
I'm very well. I'm very well, Dan. I'll try and live up to that intro.
Good, good. Ethan from Suffolk. Obviously, all minor counties that begin with S are phenomenal places. So, Ethan's from a fine stock. To my left, we have Charlotte Gallagher, star performer of the ladies section. Evening, Charlotte.
Good evening.
Good, good. I was just thinking, Charlotte, actually, it's probably only one person around this table who's played at Lords.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's an amusing story there. I was lucky enough actually to bat at number three against Hong Kong ladies in the summer, and we had a bit of a slow start, so in at number four comes Claire Taylor, and I luckily shared a 80 run partnership with her
at Lords,
of which I scored 8.
I'm impressed. I don't care how many runs you scored.
No, that is absolutely amazing. She was phenomenal, and I just was really tired running a lot. She's very fit.
It's a flat deck at Lords, though, you know.
It was, and it was massive boundaries as well. So that ball was going nowhere near the boundary rope from me.
Did you win? Good.
We did, actually, yeah. We
did. Fantastic. Did you bowl?
I did not bowl, thankfully, for all concerned.
Good stuff, though. And I should say as well, for those who don't know, that I looked at the stats beforehand, Charlotte. Are you aware of your stats on play cricket?
Yeah, there are better seasons than others, but...
But I think 3,500 runs for Twickenham CC.
I don't know, possibly.
Take it from me. at least a couple of centuries.
There were a couple a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So stats-wise, pretty impressive stuff. So great to have you on board.
That's really good. That's keeping up with Carlos. That's good for you.
Yeah, you can use me in your fantasy team. It's fine.
That's definitely... Oh, yes.
people did. Seriously, Charlotte. You're one of the top picks in the fantasy league over the years.
Don't think my stats quite stack up to that. Yeah.
Well, it was going to gloss over them, Ethan, but if you want to go there, you can. But
top run scorer in the second team this year. However, that doesn't say particularly much.
As I say, we'll move on. And of course, worth mentioning an absentee this evening. Kev Kavir is otherwise engaged, parenting, I believe.
Is that the real reason, Dan?
Well, it's the official reason, Huge. I mean, are you saying there may be other reasons?
I am. I'm just sort of thinking maybe it had something to do with his prediction.
Can you talk me through those predictions? where did we go with that?
So I think the last podcast, I think he said that England were going to beat the West Indies 5-0.
Well, I was thinking of the one before that as well. What did he say about the test series?
Yeah, he said that England were going to beat the West Indies in a whitewash. So, again. So, I don't know. I'm just saying. Maybe that's the reason he's not here. Just a thought.
I'm just hoping he doesn't predict that England win the World Cup. Because if he does, we're doomed. We are well and truly doomed. We will see next time he's back on side. I was going to kick off by talking about that West Indies series. Now, obviously, we've had the one-dayers now. England have not done wonderfully well with one massive exception, where we scored a million on a flat track. What was your take on the series, folks? Talk me through it. Ethan?
I enjoyed it. I think it was really competitive cricket, and it was good to see the West Indies in the Test series and in the One Day series really come out with some fight. I think England, especially in the Test series, were found a little bit wanting, and in the One Day series, I think we are flat track bullies, which in One Day cricket usually isn't too bad because the pitches are so flat nowadays. But I think that is an issue we've got, especially if it's the World Cup starts end of May, and if there's some greenish pitches, I think we'll be in trouble. But other than that, I think it was a great series, and I thought the West Indies bowled really well.
They looked like the West Indies, didn't they?
Yeah, I thought
fast bowlers trying to knock your head off. It was great.
I thought it was a sort of attack that you wouldn't fancy batting against, and they really, really did. I think they outshone our bowling attack, probably apart from Mark Wood, who was pretty special. But apart from that, I think they were a lot better than us in that department.
You usually make a bit.
Yeah, same thing. It's great to see the West Indies back. The one thing I would say is that England's style of cricket is very exciting when it's good and very poor when it's bad. I think they're an all or nothing side. If you catch them on their day, they'll score 400 odd. And if you don't catch them on their day, they'll
score 40.
They'll score 113. But yeah, talking about the West Indies bowlers, I think they were also missing one. He was banned for something, maybe something to do with some comments that he made. But you know, looking at the depth of that West Indies side, there is one thing I'll say though, that's in West Indies. I'd like to see how
they own at Durham in early May.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, I think that's, you know, horses for courses. They did really well, picked the right teams. Maybe that was it. I mean, we know we spoke about that in the tests. You know, the West Indies picked their right side, and England missed out. Maybe England did a bit better this time. Well, naturally they didn't. That's maybe why it was 2-2 and not 5-0.
I think also on those decks, fast bowling made quite a big difference. If you looked at the average speeds that people were bowling at, the most effective bowlers, often probably apart from Holder, who's your 9-length man, were bowlers who were bowling pretty quickly. And does that open the door for Jethro Archer coming into that?
A wonderful
England
name,
side?
I might add. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a fantastic name.
It was interesting. There was an interview question to the England coach about that specifically. It's like, when is he going to be playing? And he goes, sort of dodged the question, but yeah, I mean, it's on the top of everyone's it's on top of everyone's mindset at the moment. So we will see. We will see.
Joanna, what do you make of it?
I haven't seen a great deal of it, I have to admit.
You've been on wine tasting trips.
Tasting trips. That was actually after the cricket yesterday as well, which finished very quickly. I think Chris Gayle made a difference, didn't he, really? He just, he settles them down. He gives them a massive platform in those one-day games. And we, bar Butler's big score, we just didn't have anybody that kind of provided that consistency through the time. I just say about Jofra Archer, in the Big Bash, he did get bashed around quite a bit.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
You know, by the Aussies and various people. And I guess that's the danger, is that a lot of people have seen him now. And
yeah,
maybe that mystery quality might have gone slightly. But
it's been worked out, yeah.
Yeah.
He bowled quite well in the last few games, though, didn't he?
Yeah,
I think at the start of the Big Bash, he was very leaky with the runs, but I think...
I did hear he was injured. That's why he was playing with an injury.
Yeah.
So, yeah. News is, you know, you read, if you read everything, if you believe everything you read, should I say.
And does 92 miles an hour effortlessly ever get found out, is the question.
Can't buy speed, as they say. Yeah, I get that.
In any sport, I think speed...
Yeah. Guys, I'm going to put something out there. All right. Okay, I totally get the point about you know, watching England and the West Indies go at it is great, but that 400 plus game, dull as Ditchwater. I watched every ball, it's dull as Ditchwater. It's glorified baseball, folks. You get that front leg out of the way, you know, you try and whack it as far as you can. Even bowlers, they're not really trying to move it left and right, but they're changing the pace a little bit, just like they do in baseball.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out there, this is glorified baseball, it's not proper cricket. It'd be a bowler. You'd be a nutcase to be a bowler, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Huge, talk to me.
Yeah, it's, you know, when the groundsmen prepare pitches like that, it's like the M1.
I put something on record? It's not a good pitch.
No.
You know, it's just too flat.
Yeah.
There's nothing in it.
Exactly, yeah. It's a one-sided sport, as you say. You might as well just sort of put up a bowling machine and just see how many people can score. I get that. Yeah, it's one of those things, though. They wanted a big score. They wanted to see if they could do it. You know, who knows? I don't think that there's going to be those sort of pitches when the World Cup comes along.
I think they'll try though.
We're talking an entertainment package though, aren't we? And if you actually
what's entertaining about baseball?
Well, I actually think watching 12 sixes off Butler's bat, you know, is entertaining in 16 England sixes. I think it is entertaining these days for you know, maybe the youth that are watching cricket, if we can get them to watch cricket, it's got to be entertaining. And actually is watching a game that's sort of played out for 5 days, Dan, I'm sorry.
I tell you what's interesting, watching Kushal Pereira back for his life in a test match. Oh, sorry, you're from South Africa, I forgot. Yeah, I know I normally say Botswana and Belgium, but I mean, joking apart, that's the game. That's the game, 150 odd. And what did Fernando get? Six.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, world record 10th wicket stand to pull it out the fire when people didn't expect it. That's the stuff, isn't it?
I would say test match cricket is better when the ball is on top of the bat, but I think one day cricket is better when the bat's on top of the ball, because that's what you want to see. You want to see the best batsman in the world clearing the ropes continuously.
Well, unless you're a bowler, when you get nothing.
No, I do understand that, and I started my cricket career as a bowler, so I do see things from that
saw
point
the
of
light,
view.
Did you?
I did see the light, yeah.
You realised which way the wind was going.
Yeah, and my knees can't take it. But I think watching those sixes that Butler and Gayle were hitting out of the park, that is entertainment. Like watching the clean striking.
But where were the people in the ground? It was only half full. And of course, the average age of the spectator was about 75 from the home counties.
But I think that's West Indian cricket's problem in general, because I know a couple of people that I've played cricket with who are from that heritage. They would say that American sport's getting a lot more popular back then. I think things like basketball, especially in Jamaica and places like that, sprinting, athletics, is they get 30,000 people to go and watch 18-year-olds run around a track.
Yeah.
That's... But isn't that because they're not any good anymore?
Yeah, it is.
The tide may be turning, but I mean, the 80s West Indies that perhaps me and you remember, Ethan, you know, they're...
I was born in 1993, thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say, your face obviously can't be seen in the podcast, but it wasn't awfully happy with that. But judging by the 80s West Indies, wow, now people did watch that. And people in Brixton would come out and watch that here in the UK as well when they played here.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
Perhaps the West Indies have just not been as good and worth watching anymore.
I think that is part of it, and it is part of that. Culture, I think, as well plays a big part of that, because they're now probably much more heavily American influenced than they were back 60s, 70s when they had just come out of being part of the British Empire, and they were probably much more British socially and culturally.
I think it was a smaller world, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Cricket was what they did.
Cricket was what had been there for a quite a long period of time, and that's what they were exposed to, and I think that has shifted slightly.
But was there some decent role models? I mean, you know, you're talking about that 70s, 80s, 90s period of when you had all of those fantastic Wendy's cricketers. You know, you think about it now, you know, there's been quite a lot of people that have only decided to play T20 cricket because they're chasing the money in the nicest possible way. I think that's also the other thing is that there's none of the youth has been able to look up, or there hasn't been that entertainment value of people saying, yeah, I'm going to go and watch some proper cricket instead of, you know, the West Indies getting drubbed 5-0 by every touring side that comes across. So I think, you know, that's something that's affected it. I'm not saying that's the main reason, but that's, you know, when you're losing 5-0, what's the point of going to go and watch?
No, I agree, and I think that's part of their problem. But it's, I think, with Holder at the helm, I think he's a galvanising...
surprised me. He's done very well, hasn't he?
He's a real leader, and when you listen to him speak, he's really passionate about it, and I don't think he would be taken away to play in some 2020 league for the right amount of cash. He wants to be a great West Indian cricketer and bring cricket back to the West Indies in the way that it should be.
Yeah.
Talking about cricket in the West Indies is a nice segue here, Hugh, because of course we've had our AGM.
Yes, we have. Yeah,
and our last overseas tour was to the West Indies.
Correct.
Okay, but our next overseas tour is going to be
in South Africa.
Talk us through it, Hugh. What are we planning here?
Yeah, so 10 days to South Africa. It's going to be based in Cape Town. It's going to be over the half-term weekend in February, so similar to what we've just been through in the past couple of weeks. I think it's something like the 14th to the 24th or something like that. Mm-hmm. Effectively, there's a planning committee that's been put in, which Ethan is part of. We've got people that are obviously going out and finding quotes from tours, but we've also decided that maybe to keep some of the costs down, we want to try and do some of it internally ourselves. So we've got different people on different tasks of accommodation, cricket games, flights, and it's hotting up very, very well.
When do you think we're likely to have a rough sort of agenda there?
So we've actually got a meeting, the subcommittee, we've actually got a meeting on the 17th where we're going to get together.
Of March,
correct. Where we're going to get together and sort of put everything pen to paper on it, put together the itinerary, socialise it with the club. We've already had about, without even an itinerary, we've already had about 20 people that are very keen on it. So the uptake is good. Like I said, it'd be great if we could get to that 50 people that, you know, went to the West Indies all those years ago. But yeah, it's looking really, really good. And like I said, the nice thing is basing yourself in one place does bring the cost down. There are some phenomenal cricket grounds in South Africa. We're very deep in the planning stages of that, which is good. And we've got a lot of people that want to come and just support too.
Ali Vokes said he was in.
Correct,
and he said he was absolutely not playing, if I remember rightly.
He just wanted the supporters package. Yep. That's the other thing. We don't even know if we're going to be able to do a supporters package or how it works. But that's the sort of, you know, that's where we are right now.
So I guess just keep an eye on the website for more details. Is
correct,
that right?
Okay. Keep an eye on the website. Get in touch with us. I think that's the important part is if you do want to tour with us, I'm not going to spam everyone on email and WhatsApp and, you know, Twitter and Facebook. If you're keen, you know, let me know, or let your skipper of your side know. I'll add you to the comms and we'll go from there. But as I said, you know, we're already about 20 strong, and that's just off, you know, socializing it with the guys today. And that was just via WhatsApp. So yeah, we'll continue to drive it. It's interesting though, because some of the clubs we've spoken to, and we've said, you know, we're going to be televising these games because we've obviously now got the pitch vision.
Yeah, talk us through that. So we mentioned it before, the pitch vision. We talked about this at the AGM. The club's right behind it. Well, what's the process?
So that's now happened. We were successful in the ECB World Cricket World Cup club grant. So we just had to come up with the remaining money. We've come up with that remaining money. We've placed the order. Our treasurer, Mr. Fullparker, has placed the order. We're now waiting for it. And then, yeah, we're going to be streaming. Obviously, we've got to make sure that it's all legal and we, you know, get consent from all of the people. We will make sure that that happens, both in, you know, the seniors, the ladies, as well as the colts. So that's something that we're making sure that we're doing. So, yeah, that's definitely going to be a reality on the green this year.
So that means that... So just so I got this completely, so every game on a Saturday will be live on the internet?
Correct. Right. That's right. As long as all parties consent.
Okay.
If one person in the opposition side, for example, says that he doesn't want to be recorded because he's supposed to be at work, then we're not going to be televising the game.
Good job Clint McCabe's not around anymore.
I know.
A number of games where he said that to me before.
Well, you know, there's some interesting things here because, you know, some of our members have said that, you know, they've told their wives and girlfriends that cricket finishes at 10 o'clock at night and they got floodlights going on. So this is going to be interesting, Mr. Phil Nash.
I can't believe you named Nashy. That's so
unfair. Did I really? Sorry. That must have just slipped out.
Nashy's actually making it to Nets this week. He is, isn't he? Mandy's letting him out.
That's amazing.
It is worth noting as well. We've got sort of two sets of Nets that are up and running now.
Yeah. Well, you say two. There's actually three. There's Nets on a Monday. There's Nets on a Tuesday, and now there is, as you know, the Nets that are going to be on a Friday at St. Mary's. Right. So.
And the idea is horses for courses.
Yeah.
So Tuesday is, talk me through that one.
It's anything from ones, twos and threes that can't make the late sessions on a Tuesday from 9 till 10. So, yeah.
Right.
We go Monday 6 till 7, Tuesdays 9 till 10.
So they're basically for the first, second, thirds?
Yeah, correct. Okay. Yeah.
And we're looking at juniors and fourths, fifths on Friday at St. Mary's.
That's correct. From 6:30 till...
No, 7 till 8:30.
7 till 8:30.
Jeff Stoddard told me he was unable to make it because of the time of the Nets on Friday. He will be otherwise engaged. Yeah.
That means he'll be at the pub.
Precisely. Yes, precisely. He told me that yesterday. He didn't actually use those words, but that was the sentiment.
We know what Jeff said.
He's usually at the pub by about 2 o'clock on a Friday.
I couldn't possibly comment, but this net time wasn't...
How do you know that, Ethan?
I can't possibly comment.
But that's good, though. So three different sets of nets.
Yep.
So we should hopefully be able to get lots of different folks.
Yeah. You know. It looks like the season's heightened up quite well. As I said, you know, we've had so many new members join, which has been good. You know, I think we're up to about 10 or 12 now, which is really strong from the senior side. Maybe it's all this technology stuff. Who knows?
Well, we're going to digitise the club, so I hear.
And there was
a wonderful example of this at the AGM, where Huge was all set to present this wonderful, all-singing, all-dancing PowerPoint. What happened then, Huge?
There was some IT failures. The long and the short of it is my laptop battery was going very flat, and when that happens, it turns off certain things to save power.
Eugene, what's your career?
I'm in IT.
Yeah, it was one of the highlights of the AGM. Yeah.
I know.
Perhaps there wasn't a lot of competition, but at the same time, it was quite amusing when we were talking about digitization of the club and it all fell apart.
Yeah, so yeah. It hopefully put the point across as to what can go wrong and what can go well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is what it is. I can't... got to laugh at myself.
Yeah, it wasn't the end of the world. We got the point, which is that we were
the PowerPoint,
forward.
Yes, you did.
Yes, well, we got the point without the PowerPoint, which is the key thing. Good stuff. Last thing, in all seriousness, about cricket that's been going on. It's South Africa, Sri Lanka. I know I made a point in jest about your South African heritage there, but what a test series. What an odd series, to be honest.
I know. Do you know what was really interesting is I watched Australia really struggle against India, and then Australia absolutely destroy Sri Lanka in their home test series. And when they were coming across to South Africa, I thought, you know, don't want to get too ahead of myself and pull a Kevin Cabir and say that, you know, we're gonna beat them 2-0. But I have to say that first game where Pereira scored that 150 and, you know, it's probably one of the best innings I've ever watched.
That's crazy innings.
You know, the scary thing is I turned off when there was something like 70 runs to go and I popped out. Fortunately, when I came in, the game was done and we'd lost, but there were highlights on, and I actually watched the highlights, and I just thought to myself, it's got to be one of the craziest innings that I've ever seen. But, you know, who says Test cricket's dead?
Yeah,
you know,
it was great, wasn't it? It was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And then the second innings, the second Test again, you know, to the first subcontinent team that's ever won a Test series in South Africa. That's a very, very good stat. So,
wow. So India never won a Test series?
No,
wow.
They haven't. No, first subcontinent ever to win a Test series. So, but yeah, it's great for cricket. You know, sometimes you take the good with the bad, and you know, for them, for that young group of Sri Lankan people.
I think Sri Lanka needed it. Sri Lankan cricket's not been in the greatest of health, has it? Yeah. After all, their superstars have retired.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, to some degree, it's nice to see the West Indies and Sri Lanka doing as well as they're doing at the moment, because you know, that's what we need is a strong country.
I think Sri Lanka as well. They've got quite a strong. They've got a stronger seam attack almost at the moment than they've got a spin attack. Which I think...
That's a bit unusual for them.
Which is a bit weird, which I think didn't help them when they were at home against England, but did help them when they were playing in South Africa. So it sort of swings and roundabouts. Yeah. It's a bit strange for them.
I did watch the one-day game today, and we happened to beat them by 8 wickets. I'm just saying. I just wanted to get to get that in there.
And we can forgive you that one, given you've received this evening.
To your point about the spinners there, their spinners looked very, very good. It was just unfortunately they didn't get enough runs at you know, on the high field. It's good to see those spinners coming through, because there were young spinners there too. So, yeah, it was good.
Cool. Changing tack. Charlotte, I wanted to ask you about the ladies section. I mean, the ladies section now has been part of TCC for 15 years, is that quite a while.
Before I was here, actually, so...
Right. But of course, that as a club, existed before then, didn't they? You know,
they were Riverside prior to that. So, yeah, we every year there's a Christmas dinner, and Janet and Anne invite...
So Janet Bitmain, the club institution, really.
She is, She's certainly the heartbeat of the ladies' section, and sort of keeps us all going week in, week out, really, throughout the year. Which is good for a summer season. But yeah, we invite back the old members, and they come down for the Christmas dinner. And
you mentioned
really
Anne,
nice.
That's Anne Baker.
Yeah, Anne Baker, having soon to be quizmaster.
Yes, having played in an Ashes Test.
I'm pretty sure there's a very, very thorough article about her if you want to read further about her accolades. But she's... you know, she's done wonders for the club and keeping it going, and she's now taken her bowling onto a bowls green. So she's substituted overarm for underarm. And
doing
very
well.
Well,
she played senior cricket for 40 years,
something
at
like
least.
That. Yeah.
You know, she was you know, a long, consistent performer.
Huge isn't far off that, is he?
I think he's 35.
All right.
You know,
it might have even been 50 years.
It could be.
She started when she was 17.
Impressive stuff.
It is very impressive.
Yeah. You know, but against Australia, I just rest my case now.
Yeah.
The envy in me is
So we're going to see some changes in the ladies' section this year. Not in the least the coloured clothing, which I think, just hearing about pitch vision, I'm very glad we're not going to be running around in whites this season.
What colours? Green, I presume.
Well, we actually haven't finalised our colours. We're sort of leaving that a little bit
Who's
to
making
consultation.
The call? Is it?
Emma Elsom is making the call.
Okay.
Whose
nickname
is Spuggy. Well, I think her colour coordination is strong, which probably means it's going to be blue, and another shade of blue.
There's a lot of guys I would never let anywhere near designing anything.
Well, no, she is a design and technology teacher, so we've tried to place her in charge of that. I feel it's a good
job. It's
in
good hands,
yeah. So we've moved out of the women's cricket Southern League this year. Mainly because we wanted to play fewer overs. So we've dropped down into the Surrey division.
Can you just talk to what you do play there? Is it 40 overs, or was it 40 overs?
It was 40 overs. But we are going to go down to 35.
Right.
You talked about, in your last podcast, you talked about the amount of time that it takes to play a game. And obviously for ladies, maybe childcare is an issue for some of the teams in and around, and I think for ladies that draw of playing fewer overs is definitely something that's hopefully going to push participation up, especially as participation for girls is ever increasing, and they have lots of demands on their time. So for them to play 35 overs, I think is an ideal amount of time, really, to still play a decent game, be able to score some runs, but not take an entire Sunday.
Yeah. So your commute also going to be shorter, right? Because some of those games that you were playing, you were travelling some serious distances.
Hastings away was always an interesting one. We had Canterbury away, we would have done, but we couldn't get a team because of the commute.
Yeah, it's miles.
So yeah, the furthest I think we have to go this time is Reigate. So it's going to be a bit
manageable.
Of a game changer for us, to be honest. Yeah. So the coloured clothing, the 35 overs, we've also started in the Surrey Slam for women this year. It's starting up, so that's going to be a good one. That sort of takes the place of some of the league matches we would have played in the Women's Southern League.
How many games have you got in total?
It's about 14 games in total through the season.
Is that more or less than last year?
Well, it's about the same, it's the different weighting with the Surrey Slam.
Okay.
But, going back to, I guess, the kind of cricket that you want to play, I'm really excited about playing some T20 this season. I think it's good to allow other players the opportunity to have a go when maybe in the league games previously they haven't.
There's a player survey done every year by the ECB, and that's one of the messages that does come out. People want to have fewer overs in a day. And so it doesn't matter what traditionalists who don't play the game so much anymore might say. If that's what players want, then that's what the ECB is going to encourage. So not at all surprised to hear things like the Surrey Slammer, getting more popular.
Yeah, I think it's an exciting time, off the back of the women winning the T20. Women's cricket is certainly improving. Schools, it's having a massive regeneration. Most of the private schools now are choosing that over rounders.
And
it's really kind of in a blooming phase. And for us, we're maybe a team that are made up of predominantly players that have sort of had their cricket careers and just want to have some fun on the pitches. But there needs to be that offering for younger girls coming through so that they're not put off.
Where do they go, the younger cricketers? Because we've had a talk about this before, and I'd like to hear what the guys think about this, about the challenge of getting junior cricketers into senior cricketers. And I mean, every club in Britain could tell you a story about how difficult that is. It's got to be the same in the women's game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it boils down to time, I guess, and the conflict that they have with other parts of their lives, the social side of things, the workload that they have probably for exams going forward, the fact that they go off to university, and perhaps because cricket happens in the summer, they've kind of got into their uni flow before they even think about cricket in the summer. And by that time, the season's gone in a university. And I think it's hard to then get them to come back into the game. I think different options for cricketers in the future is going to have to be something that changes. That even in the men's game, I think there is a place for different structures of league. And I listened to what you said last time about maybe changing the format so that more people have to bowl. That's happened in the women's game. You have to have five bowlers. And I'm all for things like retiring at 50 so that more people have a go. But I appreciate that the traditionalists, there is prestige in scoring runs and amounting runs. And actually, for a lot of people, if you started to say, I'm only going to allow you to score 50 runs, that might be off-putting for them. So there's got to be a balance, but I think there will be a shift in the future.
But I think that point's well made. If people talk about changing the format of the game, it's always the bowlers who change.
Yeah.
It's never the batters. And I'm a batter who really wouldn't want to welcome retirement, but I find it interesting that whenever the game has to get updated, we play with the bowling.
Yeah.
We don't play with
the batter. It's just easier, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I would argue last season we certainly were very inclusive because most of the time all 11 players batted in our in our games.
Huge made sure that the twos did that.
Yep. There's definitely we were all inclusive.
Yeah, I like to let people have a go.
I remember last year that, and you mentioned this in a piece that you did for the website not so long ago, that one should also not take the ladies 11 lightly. And I mean that on a number of levels. Now, I wasn't there on one particular Sunday last year.
That was a pity.
I heard a story that there was two miscreants. Two scallywags running across the field. Policemen were chasing after them, but they couldn't catch them.
No.
Charlotte, what happened?
Well, yeah, so our own sort of police body kicked in, really. So Janet very gallantly blocked the doorway to the pavilion just in case they were to come in here.
Well, she won't want them nicking the tea.
No, she would not want them upsetting the tea. So that was the first part, literally whole body in the doorway. Thou shalt not pass. Gandalf style. But we also had, we were lucky actually that day, we have Karen Wilton, who is a prison officer, who swiftly took chase. We had Harriet, who is a PE teacher, who was literally jumping the fences until she didn't quite jump a fence and ended up on her knees.
Oh dear.
On the field, yeah. Oh, wow. And then we had Amy Johnson, who's in the army. She's actually a nurse in the army, but that doesn't stop her from knowing how to take down the one youth that nearly got away. So she casually walked up to him, struck up a bit of a conversation. He didn't have a clue what was going on. And the next minute, she's got him on his knees with his arms behind his back whilst the policeman sort of wanders over gently and says, "Oh, thanks very much." The rest of us were all just in the middle of the pitch in awe, really. Very entertaining.
These guys are sort of trained to do that sort of stuff,
yeah,
aren't they? But
absolutely.
To actually see them do it on a Sunday afternoon on the green.
It was very impressive. Yeah. The boys did not know what had hit them.
I'm looking forward to that being on pitch vision next year.
Perhaps we should go for recreation.
Phenomenal.
Been a bit of that, hasn't there, recently on Twickenham Green.
Of course,
yeah.
Yeah,
no, I'm sure that the ladies would be happy to take you all through it via pitch vision.
Sounded very impressive to me, I have to
say. It was very impressive. Very proud.
Good stuff. Charlotte, thanks ever so much for coming on board. I was going to end this week by, again, Kev's not here, which is always a shame, because, you know, prediction-wise, he is our starting point, because we know where not to go. But we have a T20 this week. England play the West Indies. What are our thoughts?
Depends what the pitch is. I'm gonna stay
on
the
fence. Come on, Ethan. We're not gonna accept that. What's gonna happen?
I think the West Indies are gonna win. I think.
Right.
There's a couple of key players aren't in the England team. A couple of them are going home, I think. Can't remember which ones, but I think Moeen Ali's going home. There's a couple of others going home.
I think Butler and Stokes are both being rested too.
Are being rested. So I think some of our stars, as you'd say, aren't going to be involved. So I think the West Indies might have it. And if Gale bats like he's batting at the moment.
Then they win.
So
full stop.
Yeah. Just to segue, do you know why they've been rested?
No,
because,
I don't.
Because they've got IPL duty.
Oh, you're joking.
I was like,
I wish,
wow.
I didn't know that now.
I was like, wow, that's interesting. So they're resting them because they don't want to overload them with work. So yeah, I was quite surprised when I heard that. I read that.
That is a modern cricket for you, isn't it?
I'm going to play for some IPL side instead of my national side.
Crikey. So you're thinking West Indies as well then, usually?
Yeah. I'm. You know, I think there's so many people that have been rested.
If I'm right, it is only one game, right? Is that?
I think so.
Yeah. Right.
The one thing I will say there is that, you know, you never kick a wounded dog, because England they're feeling it at the moment. They're going to have a big change of personnel. I do think West Indies will win, but I don't think it's going to be a walkover, as probably a lot of people are thinking, because they're missing, you know, 3, 4, 5 players. I think it'll be a good game of cricket.
Stuff happens quickly in T20, doesn't it? Unpredictable stuff can happen pretty quickly. Yeah. Throw you off your plans.
Yeah, absolutely.
If the pitch is like the one for the last ODI, anything could happen, because that pitch wasn't flat. It was doing it a bit. I know England shouldn't have got skittled for what they got skittled for, but
Gale sort of, you know, blasted 70 odd in five
27 balls. Yeah,
but
that's crazy.
When there's no pressure and it's you've only got to chase 100 odd, it's easy to do, isn't it?
Well, no. I've seen the West Indies lose from there
ever.
Before.
Yeah, but it's easy.
No, you know, I know what you're saying.
It's easier to do than if, like, the 400 when England got 400 and they chased it. That's a spectacular innings. When it's you're going to win the game anyway, and you can just throw the bat at it, I think it.
Different ball game
at that stage.
Sean, any thoughts on this?
I'm going to go England, just to
be patriotic.
Throw it out there. Kev's not here. I'm going to take the hit.
Oh, there you go.
Well, so, I do think that these T20s really are, you know, a bit more unpredictable, because stuff does happen.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go England as well. Actually.
Yeah. Early Gale out early, and then
the world changes.
Yeah. Very different prospect.
Cool. Well, we will reconvene in 2-3 weeks time.
Yep.
We will discuss our poor predictions, no doubt. Some will have gone wrong there, given what we just said.
England will score 300 or something.
Yeah, exactly. But we will talk everyone through them. Thanks very much for listening, folks. All comments welcome, and speak to you again soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.